First, are you planning on grilling out this weekend? Might be easy to go with what's familiar, your trusty grill, some burgers, maybe brats. But on this edition of Food Friday, why not add a few new tricks? Our next guest has a whole bunch of advice for us. Different grilling methods, different kinds of fuel, cool grilling gear, and recipes, lots and lots of recipes. Barbecue Hall of Famer Stephen Reichlin has simplified the process with 7 steps to grilling nirvana. He's the author of the Barbecue Bible Cookbook Series, which includes the new book Project Fire, cutting-edge techniques and sizzling recipes from the caveman porterhouse to salt slab brownie s'mores. He's also the host of several public TV shows, including the new one Project Fire. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, when it comes to grilling, we've got our gas grill at home, maybe our charcoal grill. We love our brats here in Wisconsin. But you say even after years and years of grilling yourself, you are still finding new secrets, new ideas out there.
Well, the whole idea of Project Fire was really to look at grilling today and where I think grilling will go tomorrow. Because as you pointed out rightly, you know, we all tend to grill the same 4 or 5 dishes over and over. This is an opportunity to really broaden your horizons.
And you've got, as we said, 7 steps to grilling nirvana. And the first one is finding the right grill for us. So what's the best way to go out there on the market and pick that grill that's going to meet our needs?
Well, first of all, you need to think about whether you like the process of grilling, building a fire, etc., in which case you'd probably be more interested in a wood or wood-burning grill or a charcoal-burning grill. If, on the other hand, you're more convenience-oriented, you know, you just want to get to the destination, you'll probably enjoy grilling over gas more. Another factor is how much space you have. You know, if you have a small terrace, you know, that'll suggest a grill with a small footprint. How many people you typically grill for? You know, if it's just you and another person, a hibachi might be a great option. If you tend to grill for a lot of people, you know, you might want to get a stainless steel gas super grill.
And I want to dig into that charcoal or wood option. You offer me some new ways to cook stuff. I usually just do what's called the direct method, I guess. I put it on the grate over the heat. I might do a little indirect. It's even in the title, caveman style, caveman technique, where we're cooking the stuff right on the coals. Talk about that a little.
Oh, this is my favorite method, and you'll find this method throughout the book. Basically, it's grilling without a grill grate. You build a hotbed of coals. You might lay a porterhouse steak on the bed of coals, like you'll see on the cover shot. Or you might grill the vegetables for salsa, your tomatoes, your peppers, your onions, directly on the coals, give them a smoky char, and then make a salsa. Or you can grill lobster this way. You can grill cabbage this way. It's one of my favorite. And, you know, in one sense, it's the world's oldest method of grilling. But in another sense, it's kind of new. But this is stepping out of the box with grilling.
What does that do? What's different in the outcome, the flavors that we don't get when we just slap it on top of the grill?
Well, first of all, from a texture point of view, you get a crust quite unlike any other. From a flavor point of view, you get a smoke flavor, a micro-charring that is quite unlike using a grill in a conventional manner. And then finally, and let's not underestimate this, you know, there's the sense of drama, the theatrics, because grilling is the world's most theatrical method of cooking, right? Nobody gathers around a stove to watch a pot of soup boil. But the minute you fire up the grill, you are on stage, and your guests become your audience.
Tell us a little more about that caveman porterhouse. We've got this recipe, by the way, caveman porterhouse with pepper hash, on the Ideas Network Facebook page and WPR.org/Food Friday. Talk us through this porterhouse.
Well, the porterhouse steak is seasoned quite simply with salt and pepper. The fireworks come from the method. And the method, as I said, you build a charcoal fire, you rake out the coals, you fan them with a newspaper to dislodge any loose ash, and then you lay the steaks right on the embers. I guarantee you when people watch you do that the first time, they're going to flip. It's a quick char on both sides. Then while the steak is resting, because you always want to breast steak before you serve it, you know that kind of hot off the grill is a big myth. You always want to let meat rest a little bit. In a skillet, you place olive oil, red peppers, yellow bell peppers, poblano chilies, garlic, chopped parsley. And you do kind of a quick pan fry, very colorful, very aromatic, and that gets poured over the steak. And so that's kind of serves as a sauce and a vegetable at the same time. It just takes the flavor of your steak from, you know, takes it into the stratosphere.
Talking to Stephen Reichlin on this edition of Food Friday. His new book is Project Fire, cutting-edge techniques and sizzling recipes from the caveman porterhouse to salt slab brownie s'mores. Let's talk about that. This is one thing I never heard of before your book, Stephen. The salt slab. What's that?
Well, this is an example of sort of what I call future grilling. So salt slabs starting turning up on grills kind of in the last year or so. There is a salt mountain in the Himalayas of Pakistan, and it's known to great antiquity. Alexander the Great passed by and, you know, watered and salted his horses on the way to India. But this mountain now is cut into bricks and slabs. You place a salt slab on your grill, you heat it up, and you can grill on the salt slab. And this is great for grilling fish because it won't stick to the grill grate. It's great for grilling vegetables. This is a dessert I actually created where it's kind of a modernist riff on the old-fashioned s'more. Instead of using graham crackers, you use super premium chocolate brownies. Instead of a cheap old candy bar, you use the best dark chocolate you can find. There's shredded mint for flavor. There's Grand Marnier for flavor. And then for marshmallows, I recommend using square artisanal marshmallows, which you can buy online or from a local pastry shop. And it's cooked on the salt slab. So you know how people love to add a pinch of salt, you know, salt caramel, you probably familiar with.
Sure.
The salt tends to bring out the brownie sweetness. Plus, the presentation is just off the charts.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now. The brownies look fantastic. And I got to say, the salt slab itself looks really cool, too.
Yeah, right.
And it actually...
And by the way, you can reuse these salt slabs. You know, you scrape them off with a putty knife. And then the important thing is when the salt slab cools, put it in a resealable plastic bag. And that protects it from moisture, which would cause the salt to dissolve.
All right. Another weird thing I came across in the book, Stephen, you like to grill.
Unusual. It's unusual.
Yep. I'm not saying weird in a judgmental way. Eggs.
Good.
Actually, I do have a judgment. It looks great in the picture. You have a awesome grilled eggs recipe. Now, you're not just slapping those right on the grate or even into the charcoal. We're doing the indirect method there, kind of.
No, but. Boy, you just gave me an idea. Next time I fire my grill, I'm going to try to roast some eggs in the shell. No, this actually, you know, the first chapter of the book, Project Fire, I think sets the tone for the book because my first chapter is on breakfast on the grill. And breakfast is not a meal we normally think of grilling. So right from the outset, I wanted to show you this is not your everyday grilling. But grilled eggs, they go into a skillet. They're topped with... cheese, they're chopped, grated Parmesan cheese, they're chopped with heavy cream breadcrumbs. And then we make bacon by brushing prosciutto ham with oil and direct grilling it. So that gets crumbled on top. And the skillet goes on a grill set up for indirect grilling. You tossed a handful of wood chips on the coals to generate wood smoke. So you're simultaneously, you're roasting your eggs, you're smoking your eggs, you've got grilled prosciutto bacon. It's super easy, it's super quick, but it's the flavors are just off the chart delicious. By the way, that's a dish where if you came to my house early in the morning, we make that at least once a week at home.
I'll show up, no problem. Now, you mentioned wood there, Stephen. Can we add wood flavor even if we're not cooking just with wood? What's the best way to do that in charcoal? Can we get wood flavor on our gas grill?
The answer is affirmative to both. So the best trick in the book, I mean, it's just revolutionary, is you know that chimney starter that people use for lighting charcoal?
Yeah, I use one of those. It's great. I love it.
Okay. Well, instead of putting charcoal on your chimney starter, you can buy wood chunks at a hardware store that we use normally for smoking. You can light them in the chimney starter the way you would light charcoal, and you can be grilling over wood. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. Alternatively, you build a charcoal fire. You toss wood chunks or chips on the coals right before you put the food on. That's another way to get a great wood flavor. Even on a gas grill, what you can do is you lift up the grate, and usually there are those V-shaped flavorizer bars under the grate, you know. You nestle chunks of wood, hardwood, like pecan, hickory, cherry, apple, between those flavorizer bars over the grate, food goes on top. you get an amazing smoke flavor.
And there's a debate, evidently, on wood to soak or not to soak. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I soak wood chips if I'm looking for a long smoke. Let's say if I'm preparing ribs or chicken and I want to get a smoke flavor, soaking slows down the rate of combustion. However, if I'm looking to generate a huge amount of fragrant smoke in a very short time, like let's say if you want to smoke ice cream or smoke whipped cream, then I put the chips on unsoaked.
It's Food Friday, and Barbecue Hall of Famer Stephen Reichlin is with us. He's the author of the new book, Project Fire, cutting-edge techniques and sizzling recipes from caveman porterhouse to salt slab brownie s'mores. He's the host of the new public television show, Project Fire. Check your local listings. I know at least some of the stations around Wisconsin are airing this, including Wisconsin Public Television. We want to hear from you aspiring grill masters now at 800-642-1234. Do you have some secret advice to share, your favorite grilling dish, or do you need some advice for Stephen? I'm guessing he's got an answer to your question, whatever it is related to grilling. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Check out that caveman porterhouse recipe on the Ideas Network Facebook page and WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Food Friday. We're grilling with Stephen Reichlin, author of the new cookbook Project Fire, cutting-edge techniques and sizzling recipes from the caveman porterhouse to salt slab brownie s'mores. He's the host of the public TV show Project Fire. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of grill do you have? Are you broadening your horizons? What's the coolest, most out there thing you've grilled successfully? And do you have a question for Stephen? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. To your calls now. Bill is with us in Madison. Bill, hi.
Hey, thanks. And Stephen, thank you very much. First of all, I just want to
hi, Bill.
You. I really appreciate the fact that you get your entire crew involved, and you show behind the camera, and you show how actually big a production your show is. I really commend you for that.
You know, I'm so glad you say that, because a lot of times you watch cooking shows and you think it's just one guy up there on the set, and man, ours takes a village.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate that. Like, I have just a little, you know, Weber kettle, and I like to do pizza, but I'm trying to get the crust nice and crunchy without burning. And do you just have any tips about pizza on a Weber kettle grill? Thanks.
Well, I do, absolutely. So first of all, you probably know if you've watched my show, when I grill pizza, I actually drape the dough right on the grill grate. I don't use a pizza stone. Pizza stone is the safer way to do it. If you don't have a pizza stone, you can just use an inverted skillet. And that'll kind of give you a hot surface to warm the pizza. But to me, it's really interesting. When you take your dough, you brush it with oil on both sides, you lay it right on the grill grate, and the dough sort of puffs up and gets crackly and crisp. The secret, Bill, is to have one zone medium high and one zone with no fire at all, safety zone. So as you're cooking the dough, if it starts to burn or you need to get a little breathing space, you move it to the coal-free safety zone.
All right, good luck. Hope that helps. Let's go now to Scott on the line in Windsor. Scott, hi.
Hey, I love the show. I look forward to this every Friday.
Hey, thanks a lot.
I just want to suggest one of the things that's revolutionized my grilling experience, and that is
okay.
Preparation of the meat. Steaks work especially well with a sous vide cooking system. It's basically a controlled temperature water bath that you can set to within a tenth of a degree if you buy the right unit. And you can bring your steaks, for instance, to 132 degrees, perfectly, you know, rare or whatever temperature you prefer. And then you prepare the coals or the grill, and all you're looking to do there is to give it a nice sear, and that's called a Maillard reaction. You probably know all of this, but too many people don't. But it takes all the prep time and a lot of the guesswork out of doing meats right on the grill.
Scott, yeah. Thanks a lot for the call. So, Stephen, he's basically mostly pre-cooking the meat and then getting that sear on it sounds like, on the grill. What do you think of that?
Well, I will be honest. You know, first of all, my bottom line with grilling is if whatever you're doing works and people love it and you love it, you're doing it right. I personally am not a big sous vide advocate. I kind of like the more primal experience of cooking a meat from start to finish over the fire. I think there's a certain vigor, a certain robustness, even a certain violence that comes with cooking that way. But many people use the sous vide method, including the modernist cuisine visionary Nathan Myhrvold. So, you know, think about it. I certainly appreciate the caller reminding us that it exists.
Scott, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Stephen Reichlin, his new book is Project Fire. We are talking about grilling. Back to your calls now. Tony is on the line in Waukesha. Tony, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What did you want to ask about?
Great. How about you?
Yeah, what a timely topic. So I've been experimenting a lot with the, trying to take my grill game up a little, doing the low and slow methods for picnic shoulders and ribs and such. In the past, I've been kind of a just throw it on direct and wish for the best. What I've noticed is that I've been having trouble with the low temperatures that we use for doing those, 275 to 350. I'm not getting my hickory chips or the wood to start smoldering to create the smoke.
Okay, so first of all, what kind of grill are you using?
Well, I've been using the gas one a lot. I have a nice lever. I also have a charcoal, but I've been trying to do a lot of these on the gas because when you're grilling something low like that for 6 hours, it's just a lot easier to maintain temperature.
Okay, well there's your problem because most gas grills are really not designed to cook at lower temperatures. And I would urge you, if you really want to go the low and slow method, I would urge you to kind of focus more on your charcoal grill. Now, there is a technique you can use that's called a top-down burn, where if you're trying to indirect grill on a kettle grill, you mound your coals up on one side, and then you put like a quarter of a chimney's worth of coals on top of those unlit coals and put your food on the other side. Let the coals burn down gradually. I typically do this in a Weber Smoky Mountain smoker, which kind of looks like an upright, well, it's called the bullet sometimes. And with the top-down method and that, you can get a burn of, sort of 5-6 hours with no sweat because, again, the hot coals on top are burning downwards. On a kettle grill, it's going to be a little bit less, I suspect, but nonetheless, it will work on a kettle. Gas grill, I've just had the hardest time, keeping a gas grill at 250, 275.
All right, Tony, good luck. Hope that helps. Stephen, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're talking to Wisconsin here. This next question will risk making you enemies. What is your advice for grilling brats?
Okay, I'm a Yankee and an iconoclast, so I'm probably going to make a lot of enemies, but I do cook brats. I love your brats, and I have a very singular method for doing it. So you all usually cook your brats direct grilled. I like to set the grill up for indirect grill. I like to work on a charcoal grill. That means the fire, the mounds of lit coals on the periphery at the sides, and then the brats lined up in the center. What I do is I add a handful of hardwood hickory or oak chokes or a couple of wood chunks, close the grill lid, and I indirect grill the brats at about 375 degrees for about a half an hour. Now, three things happen when you do that. One, the wood chips give your brats a smoke flavor. Two, your brats will never burst like often happens with direct grilling, so they're incredibly moist and succulent. And three, it's virtually set it and forget it. I mean, you don't have to worry about turning the brats, the brats cooking at uneven rate, splitting. It's absolutely fail-proof. And I know many of your listeners probably want to ride me out of Wisconsin or burn me at the stake. But if you try it, I promise you they'll be the best brats you've ever tasted.
And finally, and we have arguments within Wisconsin, so don't worry too much, Stephen.
Okay.
You have some.
I say that tongue in cheek because I have done my that method many times in Wisconsin when I've been on book tour, and people always enjoy it.
And now you've got a chapter, desserts and drinks. How do we grill a
drink? Well, perfect drink for upcoming summertime sangria, the Spanish fruit and wine punch. So what I do is I cut all the fruit, the lemons, the oranges, the limes, in half, dip them in sugar, and char them on a hot grill grate, which turns the sugar and fruit juices into caramel, gives you a smoky flavor. That fruit then gets diced, put in a bowl with brown sugar, rum, and cinnamon, and makes sort of a very rich, fruity, caramelly, smoky base. Then if I want to make a red sangria, I add Lambrusco, which is an Italian sparkling red wine. If I want to make a white sangria, I add Prosecco, which is an Italian sparkling white wine. I promise you it will be the best, the most remarkable, the most unforgettable sangria you've ever tasted.
Stephen, we just have a few moments left for us vanilla grillers. I'll admit I do the same thing and again. Give us a quick pep talk to get us to try something new and fun.
Well, I mean, first of all, buy Project Fire. Watch the Project Fire TV show on your local public television. Try something new. I'll tell you what, that caveman T-bone that's on the cover of the book, that is a game changer. And if you're a charcoal griller out there and you try this just once, you'll be amazed, you'll be proud, you'll be satisfied, and you will dazzle the people that have gathered at your barbecue.
Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been fun for me, too. Thanks a lot.
That's Stephen Reichlin, author of a whole lot of cookbooks, including the one we've been talking about, Project Fire, Cutting-Edge Techniques and Sizzling Recipes from the Caveman Porterhouse to Salt Slab Brownie S'mores. He's the host of a lot of public TV shows over the years, including Project Fire. We have that recipe for the Caveman Porterhouse. You can find that on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Also, look that up at wpr.org/Food Friday. Check it out there. Try it out and run through the archives, too. There's a lot of recipes there.